Welcome back to another episode of the MicroComp Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Walling. And in this episode, I interview Chad Sakonchik about how he and his team built a no-code SaaS to over $1 million a year. This is a MicroConf Tactics episode where we pull audio from our YouTube channel. If you want to see the full YouTube interview, click the link in the show notes or head to microconf.com/YouTube. Chad and his team at Better Legal are one of the rare no-code tools that we've seen grow past a few thousand a month. And they've achieved 1 million ARR with a no-code SaaS platform that provides legal services to startups and new businesses. It's a pretty exceptional story. Chad is obviously very opinionated about no-code and how it fits into their company, having gone down the path of having a bunch of code written and that kind of grinding them to a halt at a certain point. And so there's a lot of debate about no-code versus code, scalability, brittleness, all this stuff, but I always find it interesting to hear all sides of the story when we're talking about a new technology that people are still delving into and still learning about. Before we dive into that, you should check out MicroConf Connect at microconfconnect.com. This is our online community and forum. We host it in Slack, and we're approaching 7,000 members. They're bootstrapped and mostly bootstrapped SaaS founders. Recent conversations in Connect, including a debate about magic sign-in links, how long you should spend diving into a niche before deciding on the product offer, how to safeguard your product from misuse during free trials, at what point in your journey should you invest in a conference booth, and more. It's a vibrant and highly moderated community, very high signal to noise. If you're looking to find and hang out with other misfits like you and I, head to microconfconnect.com. So I hope you enjoy this episode.
Yeah, so 2 years ago, we went from 5 years of custom code to no code on Bubble, and I'm never going back. We have been able to replicate 5 years of custom code in a year, and then in the following year, build incredible new features, and now we're doing $1 million in recurring annual revenue, and the business is doing better than ever.
If you're considering no code for your business, you don't want to miss this interview. Today, I talk with Chad Sakonchik, the founder of Better Legal. Better Legal helps new businesses file their formation documents with the state, get their EIN, in addition to several other services. Chad's the first person I've met who's made what some might see as a counterintuitive move from a traditional code stack to no code. And during that process, they crossed $1 million in ARR. It's the threshold so many founders dream of. And if you stick around till the end, you'll hear his advice for anyone who's trying to launch their first app on Bubble. So to kick us off, can you tell us a bit about Better Legal and what problem you solve for your customers?
Yeah, so Better Legal, it's not a brand new problem that we're solving. There are much bigger competitors that have been out there for a long time. What we are actually trying to do is remove the kind of matrix of options of upsells, really, where it's like, if you're starting a business, there are three things that you need. You need your state filing, you need your EIN, and you need your legal documents in order to open a bank account. Instead of going through this kind of gauntlet of options where it's like, do you need an EIN? Do you need a legal document? We just say it's one price and you get everything for that single price. Same speed as the state provides, instead of trying to upsell you a different speed, unless, you know, if you don't pay them the extra $100, it takes 30 business days, which is actually 6 weeks. So what we're trying to do is just make things way simpler and just remove any options that you don't need to think about anyway, because you're already thinking about all this weird stuff you're having to do to run your business. We want to make that as easy as possible for you.
If you take us back a few years, how did you come up with the idea for Better Legal and how did you find early customers?
I started with an attorney friend. He left his law firm and he went to be a solo practitioner, and he was trying to get as much business as he could. So he was on UpCounsel and Avvo trying to get LLC formations from people, because if he got that business, then he would likely get more business for writing contracts, reviewing contracts, things like that. So it was a good entrance point or a lead magnet for him as an attorney. But he was charging $1,500. And he was telling me that he wasn't getting that much business, or he was losing a lot of business after talking to people. And I said, why are you charging $1,500? And he said, well, $300 goes to the state for the filing fee. And then 4 hours at $300 an hour is the other $1,200. And I was like, well, why? What takes you 4 hours? And the reality is, a a legal document that he downloaded from Westlaw from a CLE course was basically manual data entry, essentially paying an attorney $300 an hour to do manual data entry into a 50-page document that someone else wrote. And so I basically told him I could simplify that and automate it. And I built a little process, and it took this 4-hour process down to 10 minutes. And we just started selling it through his law firm solely for an entire year. We sold about 50 of those because he was doing so much business at the $599, including the $300 filing fee, that we realized that we had something. And then we just took some of that money, put it into Google Ads, got basically spent $1,200 for 2 sales and got $600 back. And that's when we knew that we had something.
And technically, can you give us an idea of how you built Better Legal, including your unusual transition from code to no code?
So it was actually no code to no code to code to no code. So there have been 4 major releases of Better Legal internally on our internal app. The first one was just Typeform, Zapier, WebMerge, and Asana. And all of it just kind of cobbled together. The second version replaced Asana with Salesforce.com, where we could basically edit the information before we generated the legal document. The third version was we really wanted to provide a portal. And we couldn't do that with Salesforce, even if we used Heroku. Once you get to 10,000 rows, it's call for pricing. So we were like, well, you know, if we hit any kind of scale, we don't know what Salesforce is going to charge us. So we decided to just build it all on custom code. And we spent 5 years building out this thing on custom code. And then after that, I really just kept butting heads with our front-end developers. Our back-end developers were always awesome, but our front-end developers were just always wanting to go for the new JavaScript framework, refactoring to make it 10 milliseconds or 100 milliseconds faster, all while ignoring actual necessary features that we needed. And so moving to Bubble allowed us to get a developer at the same rate, but work 10 times faster. And so we went from code where we were literally just for an entire year treading water, just trying to keep up with the features that we had already released. And then, you know, packages breaking or the server being overloaded and crashing. And so all of these DevOps things that we felt like we didn't need to worry about, they didn't help us be better at business. They weren't our secret sauce. Being able to go to Bubble, where it was everything that we needed, all packaged into a WYSIWYG interface. And let's be honest, no code is just a new term for WYSIWYG, right? So we all used Dreamweaver and all of these types of drag and drop interfaces back, you know, 10, 20 years ago. And then everything kind of went to code because the .com boom and everything happened. And so now we're moving back towards drag and drop interfaces, where the reality is we already designed registration forms, sign up forms, forgot passwords, logins. All of these things are just elements. And so instead of hand coding this, you have all this packaged in drag and drop, and you can make these workflows in a visual way. It really is like moving from a manual loom to an automated loom. And anybody that's not moving in that direction is just going to get left behind, in my opinion.
We've been partnering with Lemon.io for several years, and they've proven to be a great choice when it comes to hiring for a highly skilled developer to work on your project. Here are 5 reasons why you should consider working with Lemon.io. Number 1, the time from your request to getting a candidate is just 48 hours. Number 2, their developers have previously worked with tech giants like Apple, Google, Netflix, Airbnb, Intel, and Lego. Number 3, they only provide senior devs with an average of 7 years experience. Number 4, their talent pool covers more than 300 dev languages and frameworks. And lastly, number 5, your hire comes with a zero-risk replacement guarantee. Customers of Lemon.io typically stick around for at least a year, proving they know how to gain your trust by delivering consistent results. Quit wasting time searching for a solid developer at a great price. Get in touch with Lemon.io. We have a special discount for fans of MicroConf. Visit lemon.io/microconf to receive a 15% discount for the first 4 weeks of working with a developer. That's lemon.io/microconf. And so it sounds like to summarize the reasons, it's maintainability, so you don't have all this DevOps and all this refactoring having to go on, and then speed of deploying new features. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, it took us about it took us a few months to duplicate 5 years worth of custom code in Bubble. And then we basically ran them in parallel and just did nightly syncs between the databases. And so we let the team use the new version and then revert to the old version if they needed to. And then we just filled in the gaps because there were a lot of these edge cases, little features that we had forgotten about. So that took another probably 3 to 6 months. And then we just ran the new version, what we call BL4 on Bubble. And then once we stopped getting bug fixes and we didn't have people reverting to the old version, we just sunset the old version. So it took us less than a year to launch everything that we had on custom code, plus replacing Asana. We built our own task management system that worked with our data, that was deeply integrated with our data within Bubble. And then we spent the next year or last year developing completely new features that made us way more productive and just entirely new AI enabled features, new products. So yeah, it was a net win by like 100x.
And in terms of revenue, can you give us an idea of where Better Legal stands?
Yeah, so we've been doing between $2 and $2.5 million for the past couple of years. But we've really started focusing on our SaaS part of our business, whereas like 2 years ago where we did, you know, about $2.5 million, a vast majority of that was one-time revenue. And now we've kind of flipped it to where it's about 50-50. We've done 1 million ARR in December of 2023. And we're really just accelerating that. And especially with our new AI contract analysis tool, which is usage pricing or subscription pricing, that really is just going to accelerate.
And, you know, you mentioned that Bubble makes up the core of Better Legal. Are you also interjecting additional code or customizations to make it work for you? Like, you know, there's no code, there's low code, and then there's code. Like, how much actual code or low code is being injected to make Better Legal work?
I don't know, there's no exact percentage, but that's kind of like the secret, right? Is that no code really isn't no code. It's no code until you need something bespoke, and then you go find code, or you find code behind an API and you inject that into your no code. So we have tons of little scripts and stuff that do various things, like creating a customer in Stripe, things like that, that are very custom. That is like a small part of it. And that's what really makes the business unique. And so I think anybody building on no code is going to get to a certain point. And then you just go find, like, any amount of code or something custom is just an API away. So like, build on no code till you get to a point and then figure out how to, you know, host some code somewhere and just build your own API, or find someone that built something custom and then call them via an API.
And are there any performance or scalability issues that you've run into since the migration to Bubble?
Not really. At times it's slow, but the fact is Bubble is hosted on AWS anyway. So it's either me and my team building on AWS and trying to do optimizations, or the Bubble team building on AWS and doing the optimizations. And that's something that I feel like I shouldn't have to worry about. So really, by me using Bubble, I'm just outsourcing the AWS optimizations to them and let them worry about it. And then I just pay my usage-based fees. You know, it's a tiered level where I pay X amount. And then if I go over the workload units, I pay overages, just like I would pay AWS if I was running like Lambda or serverless or something like that.
Got it. And so you haven't seen any big surprise bills come where you're like, oh my gosh, we 2x'd our bill in a month for overages.
No, but we do a lot of testing. I have seen some horror stories where people have accidentally done something. But the simple fact is that you would do that on AWS anyway. We had those issues with AWS where we had, you know, $10,000 bill overage than what we are used to paying. And no matter who you use, if you're doing a usage-based model, that is going to happen regardless.
How about any hard-won lessons that maybe you'd pass on to developers who have an app that's starting to gain traction and they find themselves a little overwhelmed, you know, keeping up with coding? Like, you've obviously been through this journey for several years across multiple platforms. So what advice would you have?
Don't worry about scaling until you have to worry about scaling. So the number one issue that I see, and you know, I've followed Dagobert from Legology for years, and we've talked several times, and he preaches this, and he put it the most elegant way, which is, why are you worried about maintaining a million customers or 100,000 concurrent users when you literally don't have a single paying customer? So before you worry about 100 paying customers, worry about the first 10 customers. If you have to worry about scalability issues at 10 customers or 100 customers, that's a fantastic problem. Stop the signups or charge double and then focus on that problem when it becomes a problem. Too many people worry about the what ifs, about what might happen, and then try to solve that problem for the future, when in reality, it's very unlikely it's going to happen. All of these no-code platforms are built on very big infrastructure anyway, and it's their job to help support you. So if you run into any issues, reach out to their team and see about getting help and how you can optimize with tips and tricks versus just worrying about something that probably isn't going to become an issue anyway.
In a minute, we'll hear Chad's advice for people who are looking to launch their first app. But first, I want to invite you to MicroConf Remote, which will be focused on early stage SaaS sales. MicroConf Remote is March 12th and 13th. We have four keynotes filled with practical, tactical advice on how to improve your sales game. Speakers include Rachel Liao of Fuse Inventory, Craig Hewitt of Castos, Daniel Ebert of Sales MVP, and Sam Howard, who focuses on sales messaging. After the keynotes, we have founder by founder sessions where you'll get to chat with other attendees. Tickets are really inexpensive. It's an online event. And even if you can't attend, videos will be available afterwards. Get your ticket today at microconfremote.com. So if an entrepreneur were to come to you and say, investors are asking us to write code for our app, and we're leaning towards no code, but really undecided, what would you advise them?
So I see everywhere this kind of, you know, if you write code, you own it. If you do no code, you don't own it. I'm into the stock market a lot. And I listen to these large Fortune 500 companies. Do you know what I never, ever hear a institutional investor ask on an earnings call is, how come you're using Salesforce.com instead of writing your own code? Salesforce.com is the original no-code tool, and it is a $100 billion or $10 billion company, and it produces software for Coca-Cola, Walmart, every huge company, all of our competitors, LegalZoom, Zen Business, that are, you know, have raised hundreds of millions or are worth billions of dollars. Every single one of them uses Salesforce.com, and that costs $125 per user per month, billed annually, and they prefer you to sign a three-year contract. Then you've got Force.com, which is like $15 per user per month, billed annually. But then you've got Bubble, which is basically what Force.com should have been if Force.com wasn't trying to chase the MRR per seat greed machine. Bubble instead is a tiered level. It's, you know, $30 a month, $60 a month, whatever. And then you pay for overages with usage. So if your investors are asking, you know, why don't you use code, ask them why these large companies use Salesforce.com instead of writing their own code. Even if you write your own code, who is actually writing the code? You're using a library. You're downloading it from GitHub from somewhere else. Someone else is writing that code. You are basically getting free labor from someone else, and you're installing their package. And some later update might break your entire system, and then you've got to go back and fix everything. If you use something like Bubble, yes, you kind of have some form of lock-in, but you have lock-in no matter what. Are you using Stripe? Okay, you've got 1,000 subscribers. Move those 1,000 subscribers somewhere else. You can't do it. You're locked in. Your internet. Who's providing your internet? You're locked into whoever you're paying for your internet. So there's lock-in no matter what. Pick the most reasonable option that is a high quality, responsible option, and go from there.
Chad, thanks so much for joining us on the YouTube channel. Appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.